Our second case this morning is 2019-141, the State of Ohio versus Elizabeth Floyd. For the appellant, Mr. Vogt.
Chief Justice O'Connor, Associate Justices, opposing counsel, may it please the court, at this time I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal from my colleague, Mr. Heenan. Your Honors, community control is a pending criminal proceeding that disqualifies an individual from eligibility for sealing both records of convictions and non-convictions alike. The central issue in this case really boils down to what the words pending and proceeding mean, and when a term is not defined by statute, a court should first consider the plain meaning of the statutory language. There are a few definitions we'd ask this court to apply. For pending, it's this court's own definition from Maynard versus Eaton Corporation in 2008, that pending means begun but not yet completed, before the conclusion of, unsettled or undetermined. Thus, an action or a suit is pending from its inception until the rendition of final judgment.
Counsel, can you briefly address why this is it moot? Hasn't the record been sealed?
The state, of course, acknowledges that Ms. Floyd is now off community control and has, in fact, had the records of the underlying conviction sealed. But there are several good reasons why this court can and should hear this case on its merits. 33 years ago, this court held in a case also involving the Cincinnati Law Department that although a case may be moot with respect to one of the litigants, this court can still hear an appeal where there's a debatable constitutional question to resolve, or where the case is one of great general or public interest.
Let me follow up on that, counsel. The records that were attempted to be sealed were not convictions, but dismissals, correct?
That's correct.
What's the state's interest in making sure that dismissed cases remain on the public record?
Your Honor, the state is interested in just applying the law in this case. I think there's a reason the General Assembly put these laws into place, and if courts are misapplying that law, this court should.
Why do you think with the statute that governs convictions, they used the final discharge language when they could have easily used it in this statute to apply to dismissals?
The term final discharge in Revised Code 2953.32 is just one extra step of eligibility for a person sealing a record of that conviction. Both 32 and 52 contain the same language that a court should determine whether criminal proceedings, plural, are pending against the applicant. So no matter what section a person sealing, trying to seal a record under, a court should consider the entire record. There's no reason for final discharge to be in 52 because there's no sentence from which a person would need a discharge. But also going back to mootness, since Floyd overturned the first district, you know, those are two inconsistent rulings. The 10th district, after we initiated this jurisdictional appeal in State versus JMS, came to the opposite conclusion that community control is a pending criminal proceeding. So although we didn't get here on a certified conflict, there essentially is a circuit split among the districts. Those are just the three cases that have been appealed, let alone the applications that are either being granted or denied at the trial level.
But a circuit split doesn't make it not moot.
That's correct, Your Honor. That's just one aspect why this court should hear this case. And also, because in both Blair and Floyd, the defendants...
Is there anything we can do in this case that affects the parties?
No, Your Honor, but you still can hear this proposition of law based on this court's own holding 33 years ago. And additionally, because Floyd's off community control, because Blair, in that case, also got off community control before this court had a chance to weigh in, this is an issue that is capable of repetition yet evading review.
Well, to be capable of repetition yet evading review exception applies to the parties in the case. It's not a general exception, right? It has to be the same parties.
Fair enough, Your Honor. I would just rest on that this is a case of great general public interest, and because of the inconsistent rulings that are happening around Ohio, this court should weigh in and put a stop to that.
But so, aren't all the cases we take of great public interest? Isn't that part of the test for why we take them? So under that scenario, nothing's moot.
That's an interesting point, Your Honor. Obviously, this court accepts jurisdictional appeal. It decides whether a case is of great general public interest. And this court has just granted itself the authority to still hear cases where it deems the interest great enough. And I would say this is one of those cases. So another definition is for proceeding is the regular and orderly progress in form of law, including all possible steps from its commencement to the execution of judgment. And that's in paragraph 17 of the dissent and from the State versus Reynolds in the 5th District, also cited by State versus JMS in the 10th District. So when you read those two definitions of proceeding and pending together in conjunction, there can really be no ambiguity that community control is anything but a pending criminal proceeding. As was pointed out in my co-appellant's brief, if you ask the average person who is serving a term of community control whether they were in the midst of a pending criminal proceeding, most people would probably say yes. Community control generally has sanctions that can range from the relatively light to the quite in-depth. Daily reporting to one's probation officer, random drug screens, electronic monitoring, just to name a few.
But wasn't the case, the sentence had been passed down, correct?
Yes.
All right. So there's nothing pending or uncertain here.
Well, it is that affirmative acts requirement of community control that I think makes a case pending, that lest they face the imposition of a different final judgment, that a person must continue.
What's the different final judgment they could get?
Well, certainly a court retains jurisdiction under misdemeanor community control to, if there is a violation that is found, to resentence someone to incarceration or jail. So that's a different final judgment.
Impose a sentence that has been held in abeyance in the original sentencing, right?
I think that's accurate, but also pursuant to State versus Fraley, as was cited in the appellee's brief, that a trial court at a community control violation hearing sentences a person anew. So that's another.
But that hadn't happened yet. There was no violation, so there's nothing pending.
I would respectfully disagree with that,
Your
Honor.
Well, there's nothing pending regarding a violation. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Okay. And if pending, according to Maynard, begun but not yet completed, we don't have that here, during, before the conclusion of, prior to the completion of, unsettled, undetermined, the sentence has been determined, in process of settlement or adjustment, that doesn't apply. Thus, an action or suit is pending from the inception until the rendition of a final judgment. We have a final judgment here.
That's correct.
I don't understand how you can say this is pending.
Well, Your Honor, with respect to the First District and its point in paragraph 8 regarding a final judgment that's subject to appeal, I would just highlight the distinction between a final appealable order and a final discharge. And just because there's a final appealable order in the form of a sentence doesn't mean a case is over. Final appealable orders are appealable because waiting for a final judgment in certain cases would preclude meaningful review. For example, Revised Code 294567 grants prosecutors the ability to appeal motions to suppress. And a final judgment for purposes of appeal, as we said, of course,
but
is a sentence.
We don't have any of that here.
Well, I'm not sure I understand, Your Honor. I mean, the person, Ms. Floyd, had a final judgment, but that judgment was...
It was not going to be appealed. Correct?
Correct.
By either side. She was going through whatever the sentence was on that particular count. It had no effect on the counts that had been, or the cases that had been dismissed. The 2 years had passed, correct?
Correct.
I still am at a loss as to see the relationship between the case that she was sentenced on and complying with, and the dismissed cases over 2 years previous.
I would just highlight the dissent's reasoning and the First District's reasoning in State versus Blair. We just agree that where a defendant faces possible additional sentencing under the same case number, the case remains pending pursuant to the definitions for proceeding and pending that we ask this court to apply. Floyd's definition, on the other hand, is too narrow. It essentially asks this court to equate criminal proceeding with a criminal prosecution. On page 4 of her brief, she cites this court to its own case, State versus X. Rel. Quinn, from 1984, And that case was just really about whether a court of common pleas could transfer jurisdiction over one criminal offense to municipal court. It didn't have anything to do with community control and whether that was criminal, or excuse me, what type of proceeding that was. I think the common sense way to square a criminal prosecution versus criminal proceeding is that a criminal prosecution is just one type of a criminal proceeding, and community control is another. They both relate to potential criminal penalties. And it was argued in the first district below and in Floyd's memorandum response to this court, but in her merit brief, she appears to finally concede that community control is a hearing that is criminal in nature. And that's, of course, in line with this court's holding in State versus Hines and the dissent from the 8th District in that case.
How is community control a proceeding?
It is part of the criminal proceeding in that a sentence is still
Is a sentence to prison a proceeding?
I would agree with that, Your Honor.
I ask you, is a sentence to prison a proceeding?
I think where a person is still serving their sentence, the answer is yes.
That's a proceeding. Is that how most people would refer to a criminal sentence? He's in the middle of a criminal proceeding because he's in prison?
I'm not sure if that's how most people in prison would necessarily refer to that.
Anybody? You ever heard anyone refer to a criminal sentence as a proceeding?
I think people serving a term of community control would probably refer to that as a proceeding, Your Honor.
You say, I'm in the middle of a proceeding, I'm on community control?
I think it's a pending criminal proceeding where a court retains jurisdiction to substitute a new final judgment that by definition from Maynard versus Eaton Corporation is pending, that there's still not the final judgment or final discharge of a case, that the case remains pending.
Well, there has to be something that intervenes and then it starts. The violation then would be a charge, and then that goes back to court, and the modification of the community control would be pending. But without that condition precedent, without the defendant doing something to trigger it, you got nothing pending.
I would just respectfully disagree with that, Your Honor, that the nature of community control requires continual affirmative acts of compliance to show that they are.
And as long as those are being done, you don't have anything pending. You have a sentence being executed.
But nonetheless, because that sentence is subject to change, I think pursuant to this court's definitions in Maynard versus Eaton Corporation, it's pending. So unless there are any other questions, we would just ask this court to reverse the first district and answer the proposition of law in the affirmative and reserve the rest of my time for my colleague.
Okay, you reserved about 2.5 minutes for your colleague.
Thank you.
Counsel.
Good morning, Chief Justice O'Connor and Associate Justices. May it please the court. My name is Sarah Nelson, here on behalf of the appellee, Elizabeth Floyd. This morning, we are asking this court to adopt the ruling below and hold that a sentence is not a pending criminal proceeding for purposes of record sealing. Before I get into the definitions, though, I would like to address the court's questions regarding mootness. It's our position that this case is certainly moot. There's no live controversy before this court because, as justices have recognized, Ms. Floyd's dismissals have already been sealed. It's not capable of repetition yet evading review because it's my understanding that doctrine is specific to the same complaining party. We've had two different complaining parties before this court on the same issue. It's also not a matter of public interest. While the First District did overrule State v. Blair and the 10th District case JMS are sort of aligned, neither of those cases address the threshold issue before this court, which is what makes a criminal proceeding one that is pending. The definition of pending is what we're here today to talk about. Pending is an unambiguous term that means something has not yet been decided. And a criminal proceeding encompasses the time between filing of the charging instrument and the imposition of sentence. When we combine these two terms, it is clear that once a sentence is imposed, the underlying proceedings have terminated. There's nothing before the trial court to act upon and decide because the underlying matter is done. The state argues that a person has a pending matter until they have reached final discharge. But this conflates two separate and distinct statutory terms. Final discharge is only relevant to sealing of convictions. Ms. Floyd never asked to seal a conviction. She only asked to seal records of dismissal.
Let me ask you, what was the reason for the dismissal of the record she sought to see on this case?
That information's not in the record.
That's not in the record? There's no intent on the state to bring these charges back at any point? They weren't dismissed without prejudice and...
That point was never articulated by the state. So it's my understanding, no, they were never intended to be raised again.
Okay.
Counsel, in this case, it was a suspended sentence.
Correct.
So there was a possibility going back to jail.
Correct.
It's not a pure community control.
It was, yeah, community control, 2 years of community control with 180 days suspended. That's correct.
Right. So the person still could go to jail.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But the potential for the trial court to invoke its jurisdiction and impose those days does not make her sentence, the punishment, a pending proceeding. The underlying matter is done.
Are you saying it's not pending or it's not a proceeding or both?
So if...
In this circumstance.
A sentence is not a proceeding. It is also something that is not pending. If there is a subsequent violation where the trial court's jurisdiction has to be reinvoked to address a sentencing violation, then perhaps we would have a pending proceeding. But that's not what we have in this case. The potential for a future proceeding does not make her otherwise final sentence something that is pending.
Okay.
Jurisdiction over the sentence just provides the trial court with the authority to act. And if they're not acting over the sentence, then it's our position that once a sentence is imposed, there is nothing pending in the interim unless the trial court's jurisdiction is reinvoked.
Counsel, will you address one of the original questions that was asked of opposing counsel? What's the state's interest here in blocking a dismissed case pursuant to the statute from being at a loss for the word.
To maintain the record so it's not sealed?
Yeah, or sealed. Blocking it so it's not sealed. I what's the state's interest here?
They have not cited any particular interest in maintaining this record, although that is an option that the state does have when an application is before the trial court on record sealing.
Well, counsel, for the state, it said their interest is abiding by the law and that the General Assembly did put this into place, and it's their obligation to enforce that in the courts. Is that viable enough?
I understood the Chief Justice's question as what is their interest in maintaining Ms. Floyd's record? I agree that their interest in this case is about the correct application of the law.
But there are no specifics, you're saying, with regard to Ms. Floyd?
Correct.
Other than their general interest in maintaining or application of the law? In general.
Correct. The application of what is a pending criminal proceeding, that specific determination that the trial court has to make when reviewing an application for a record sealing.
So that kind of supports your argument that this is moot before us today?
Correct. Yes. It's also important to remember that under the First District's decision, the trial court still maintains that discretion. So if the state wanted to raise an objection, and the trial court had to consider that, and there's also a secondary discretionary factor. The trial court always has to weigh the interests of the parties in either sealing the case or keeping maintaining it, always has to make those findings. This question is only about allowing an applicant to apply for record sealing, and that is what the First District allowed. So the state's concern that anybody could apply for record sealing while serving a sentence, while that would be true, the trial court still has to utilize its discretion in granting or denying that application. So the state can still articulate some reason why the record should be maintained if it wanted to take that position.
The trial court after the court of appeals changed its mind and held that these records could be sealed. The trial court went ahead and did that before, while it was on appeal to this court? Or when did the trial court seal these records?
The records in this case were initially sealed after the state had appealed to this court, filed their notice of appeal in this court.
Was there any jurisdiction of the trial court to do that?
Yes. Yeah, so subsequent to that, the state filed a motion to unseal on the basis that the trial court had lacked jurisdiction, and the trial court conceded that it did. So from about, I believe this case was filed back in February, almost a year ago. So until February, for another year, while she continued serving her community control and completed paying off her fines, her cases remained unsealed. So they were sealed, unsealed, and now they've been sealed again because she's completely completed her community control. For these reasons, we believe that the First District's decision was proper in this case. A sentence is not a pending proceeding. A sentence is a punishment. A sentence should not preclude an applicant to apply from having other portions of their record sealed so long as they are otherwise eligible. For these reasons, we'd ask this court to affirm. If there's no other questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Heenan? You've reserved a little over 2.5 minutes.
Thank you. Good morning. To just address your question, also yours, Chief, about the state's interest, the primary interest here is that we need to apply the rules as written. This court has repeatedly said when it comes to sealing and expungement that we strictly apply the law as written, but liberally favor granting. And in this case, when she had a matter pending, she did not meet the statute's requirements.
But you would agree that if we find that the matter was not pending, she was eligible for sealing on these dismissed charges?
Yes. If you were to say that serving a sentence does not amount to a pending matter, then yes, she was absolutely eligible, and our arguments prior to today had been wrong.
But would you concede from a policy perspective, from a prosecutor's perspective, you really don't have an interest in making sure that records of dismissal of charges that were not proven remain on the public record for public safety or?
Well, that's something that we didn't go into much below just because the issue here was strictly a matter of statutory interpretation, whether or not the matter was pending. But there are going to be times where we will have an interest in that. And of course, the trial court always maintains discretion when it comes to these matters. But I mean, the overall, our main goal in this is, yes, we liberally favor granting, and anyone who practices in Hamilton County, Justice DeWine knows that I try to find ways to make people eligible if they fit within the law. But when they don't fit within the law, then these are public records that the public has a right to be able to inspect at any point in time, and my job is to protect that interest. And until the legislature or this court says that our interpretation of what the legislature has written is wrong, then my job, if that person has something pending, is to say, you are not eligible yet. And as soon as Ms. Floyd was no longer on community control, the day that happened, we went to Judge Mallory's room and we said, go ahead and seal these. She no longer has anything blocking her way. We no longer have any law getting in the way. We have no interest. Let her move on with her life. And I mean, we did that knowing that it might very well moot our case here, but it was the right thing to do. And that's why we did that. And ultimately, I think the legislature's intent here is that someone who's serving a sentence, that's something that's pending. And just as this court recently said in Craig, just because you've got a final appealable order does not mean things are done. And that's really what the First District looked at in this case, is was there a final appealable judgment? And yeah, there was. She had been sentenced, and if she wished to appeal it, she could. But that doesn't mean things are over. And for those reasons, we ask that you reverse the First District. Unless there's any other questions, I see my time is up.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decision. Marshall, will you call a recess?